Welcome to the Warriors of Grace podcast, hosted by Dave Jenkins. Warriors of Grace is about helping men from generation to generation become gospel men in private, in the home, in the church, and in public through the Word of God. Now for today's episode, let's join our host, Dave Jenkins.
All right, guys. Well, welcome back to the Warriors of Grace podcast and to our series, Dangers to Intimacy with God and One Spouse. Today, I am pleased to welcome to the show Joey Tomlinson. Joey is married to Braden. They have three kids, Henry Owen and Ames Elroy Tomlinson. He is the pastor of Deer Park Church, a church plant in Newport News, Virginia. Joey is not only a pastor, but he holds degrees from Liberty University, the Liberty Baptist Theological Seminary, where he got his MDiv, and Southern Seminary, where he has a doctorate in ministry. Joey has a forthcoming book on depression from Hesed and Emmett, or H&E. Joey is a Protestant, he is Reformed, and he is evangelical in the best sense of the word, of that word. Ryan is the pastor of Grace Baptist Chapel. He served there since August of 2008. Ryan is married to his beautiful wife, Christy. They have four wonderful children, Micah, Lydia, Chapin, and Magdalene. Ryan holds degrees from Samford University, the College of William and Mary in Counseling, and Southern Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. He's completing a PhD from the Free University of Amsterdam, Netherlands, in early church history. Ryan teaches at university and several seminaries around the world. He's published a few books, Thinking Through Anxiety and Green Pastures, a Primer on the Ordinary Means of Grace. That Ryan and Joey also have a podcast, Broad Oak Piety, and Joey has contributed to Servants of Grace for many years. So I'm excited for you guys to hear from Joey and Ryan. They are both thoughtful brothers engaged in the work of pastoral ministry and in biblical counseling. So without further ado, here is Joey and here is Ryan.
All right. Well, welcome. My name is Joey Tomlinson. I'm sitting here with Ryan Davidson. We both host a podcast called the Broad Oak Piety Podcast. And Dave Jenkins, the executive director of Servants of Grace, invited us to be able to speak a little bit about this issue of pornography, particularly as it relates to porn addiction for men. And both Ryan and I are not only pastors, but we also are counselors. We spend a lot of time counseling men that are wrestling with this addiction to pornography. And so, yeah. Ryan, I thought that perhaps we can just have a informal conversation just about our approach as pastor counselors when we have members or we have, you know, people that perhaps we're connected to in the community that come that really agree with the sinfulness of pornography. Yeah. And we're kind of recording this with the assumption that if you're watching this podcast, then you are convinced of the sinfulness of pornography.
Right, right. Right.
And so we're not aiming to convince you of that. But what we hope to do is perhaps give some good gospel remedies for overcoming the sin of pornography, which really is a strong addictive sin.
Yeah.
And so it's for people that have indulged in it, and a lot of people that we see have been neck deep in it for perhaps most of their lives.
Yeah.
It's no small feat to be able to overcome that.
That's right. That's right.
You and I were just talking the other day about how studies have showed how people that are addicted to pornography, how it even messes with the wiring of your brain.
That's right.
So why don't we just start with, you know, a young man comes in to our office. It's session number one, right? They've given us kind of this testimony of they really have tried in various ways to stop.
Yeah.
And they keep coming back to pornography, perhaps when they're lonely, when they're by themselves, when they're stressed, you know, all the various circumstances that surround that. Let's maybe talk through what we are, how we're giving them gospel hope while trying to really, with God's help, push them toward taking this seriously and doing whatever it takes to overcome the addiction.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's right to say that it is a sin. It's right to connect it to, you know, perhaps the seventh commandment, you know, within God's moral law, and to say that it is a sin that is not just behavioral, right? There are behaviors.
Yeah,
you are looking at something, you're planning to look at something, et cetera. But it is really an issue of the heart and of the mind. Mm-hmm. And so when I think about trying to encourage a believer who's wrestling with pornography, particularly a brother who is, you know, on the one hand recognizing that it's sinful and wants to stop, but finds himself unable seemingly to stop, you know, I want to have a discussion about kind of what the law of God is and what the gospel is and how our identity is firmly in Christ. You know, his righteousness placed on our account by faith and our wicked record of sin to include use of pornography has been given to Christ at the cross. And so out of that gospel foundation, we find hope for seeking to bear fruit and to grow.
I like that. I mean, I like that the... Because if, and again, let's assume this guy, again, he's convinced of sin because he's a Christian.
Right.
Right. And a lot of times those guys really aren't giving a lot of consideration to their union with Christ,
right,
which is kind of what you're talking about.
Right.
They are positionally right before God based on the merits of Christ alone.
That's right. That's
and
right.
And they need to spend some time thinking and internalizing that.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, the first thing that I typically do in that first, you ask what to do in the first session, right? We have that conversation. Of course, we're praying together. If there are questions that require us to look to the text of Scripture, obviously that's there. I mean, there are practical and behavioral things that I think are important.
Yeah, most definitely. Which perhaps we can give some.
Yeah, how can we cut access to that immediately, right? Is it accountability? Is it getting rid of the smartphone? Is it some kind of accountability software? Is it putting the computer in a spot in the house where you can't use it by yourself? These kinds of things that need to occur quickly. But not leaving it there.
Yeah.
But saying, hey, these are things we're going to put in place as we look at the heart level issue, the idol of the heart, which then takes me also to sometimes the use of pornography is not just a lust or sexual thing, but it's also an idolizing of self, an idolizing of pleasure.
It's a cluster of various sins.
Of discontentment with God. I'm going to go find what I want somewhere else. Yeah. Right? Any number of other kind of deeper themes or idols.
Yep.
Right. So I want to be looking at those while simultaneously making sure that there are quick behavioral processes that we take. Mm-hmm. Right. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, it's very similar. And so I am trying to think, and a lot of times when guys are highly addicted to pornography, and I would view a young man or whatever age, it's not just young men, someone who's looking at pornography once or twice a year and they're trying to overcome it versus someone who's looking at it every day. I'm looking at that as, man, there has been a progression.
Right.
They're further down the road here.
Right.
Right? And we could even talk about various temptations of people and how the very temptations they're experiencing could have been shaped by the addiction of pornography, a long addiction of pornography. Mm-hmm. And, but I'm trying to listen to the clusters of sins, right?
Right.
And so some of the circumstances surrounding an addiction that someone may have to pornography could very well be, man, this person is really angry and they feel out of control, and this is one area they want to control. They have control, if you will.
Yeah.
There. Like, and so I'm trying to pay attention to that when I'm hearing their story.
Yeah.
And again, if they're a believer, I do want them to give consideration to union with Christ.
Mm-hmm.
But I have found that a lot of times those brothers can very much doubt God's means of grace that he's provided for them to be able to overcome various sins and temptations. And mm-hmm. so in some way, there's a, it takes some time to help this brother see the way out, if yeah. you will. And so I want to be, I want to make sure that I'm exalting Christ to this person that's sitting across from me. I want to make sure that I'm listening well so that I can hear kind of how the situations that surround the addiction to pornography, sin that clusters. I want to make sure that I'm prayerfully depending on the Holy Spirit as I counsel, but and also point the counselee to be able to do that as well. But I'm also paying attention to what is often the lack of good spiritual gospel remedies, good spiritual disciplines that are a habit. And sometimes I find, and I call it this, typically I find that people that are addicted to pornography, and this is a generalization, and so sure. of course there's exceptions to the rule, but a lot of times they've invested so much time into the pornography addiction, and if you compare the amount of time that they've invested into their pornography addiction, and you compare that with the amount of time they've invested in good gospel remedies, it's not even close,
yeah, right?
Right, and so they're almost trying to attack this behemoth of an addiction with this sort of K-Love Christianity is kind of what I call it. And so a lot of times in these sessions, I end up putting, I want them to devour God's word. And so I'll put them, a Bible reading plan together that I want to see them do. But I also put a systematic theology in their hand, particularly as it relates to the doctrine of God,
right.
Because I want them to see just how much bigger God is than their sin.
Yeah, that's good.
And so I end up kind of going in that direction as well. What about for you? And I know in a minute we probably want to both talk about public worship, but like, what are some things that you're trying to, have you noticed similarities there as it relates to lack of spiritual disciplines
yeah.
and the provision
yeah.
God has in Christ?
And I would wholeheartedly agree with what you just said. And I think the only thing I would add is I think part of the unique challenge is that pornography use comes with its own forbiddenness, its own rush of feelings, both physical and emotional mm-hmm. and mental. And so it does also mean that sometimes, unlike some other sins, it is very hard to compete with the rush that a man is used to when he's yeah. looking at pornography. And
there's
so
a chemical effect. There's
exactly. I mean, and there's plenty of research, as we've mentioned, yeah. that there is there's an organic
yeah.
reality to what happens in our brains mm-hmm. when we look at pornography. And so that rush is something that needs to be talked about, I think, or at least acknowledged that, you know, you're developing a habit of reading the Word again, of praying regularly again, of reading deeper theological things again, is not going to feel the same as this yeah. kind of rush that you were in. But you need to pray that the Lord would give you a growing desire
yeah, yeah.
for these things again, because you've deadened your spiritual
right.
senses.
Yes. You're deceived by sin's
right.
deceitfulness.
Exactly. Yeah. But I would agree with you. I think there are a lot of other themes too that I would want to unearth. You know, is this, I feel lonely. I'm just divorced from community. So this is my somehow connection to felt
mm-hmm.
intimacy, is this boredom, you know, exploring what some of those idols are. But at the end of the day, I think it's, I need to walk again with the Word.
Yeah.
And I need to be studying deeply and drinking deeply at the well of who God is. And so I like the idea of just diving into the doctrine of God. You know, I think there are some wonderful books that talk about these issues,
mm-hmm.
And I use them. But sometimes I think some helpers are almost too quick to, well, let's get you a book on the issue.
Yeah, that's right.
When that may be a helpful supplement, but what a person really needs to do is not focus even on the sin and the issue. I mean, they need to repent of it, but they need to focus on who God is.
That's right. They need their view of God reshaped.
Right, right. So I really like what you just laid out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew a guy many years ago. He was so addicted to pornography, and that addiction led to all sorts of other things that when he began to, and I'll use the word detox from that, he had physical, there were physical things going on with his body as he was detoxing from just looking at pornography.
Yeah.
I vividly remember that. And one of the key things for him in overcoming it was genuinely thinking through from a biblical standpoint who God is, and then being brutal in his repentance. And by, you know, brutal in his repentance, right, the Christ talks about plucking the eye, removing the hand. Of course, not literally, but like being severe with our sin. But we're being severe with our sin, remembering, again, our union with Christ.
That's right.
Right? And so I think it was Robert Murray McShane that said, for every sin you think about Christ 10 times as much. Right. And so there's this balance there of like, you need to focus on your sin and not be deceived by sin to the point that you're blinded by it. But you also want to balance that with remembering Christ.
Yeah.
And so you can be severe with your sin in your efforts to repent while still not despairing of your salvation, because you're repenting of sin as one that's in Christ.
Right. Right?
And so I do counsel being severe with cutting things off. Right. And so some of those you mentioned, right, there's organizations like Covenant Eyes that people can put that sort of stuff on their computers. It may be getting rid of your smartphone. It may be, it may be get rid of your computer. I don't know how severe it needs to be. It probably depends on how addicted you are to it. But even in your severity, you've got to be mindful that that doesn't address the heart issues.
Right.
Right. And so you can, so the behaviors need to change. You don't need to put yourself in a position to be tempted unnecessarily.
Right.
You need to be wise in that. But you also have to do the heart work.
Yeah.
Why don't we talk a little bit, because I think in our, when someone is, there, well, there's two things. One thing before I move on, guarding the eyes in what we watch, even if what you're watching doesn't fall into the category of pornographic.
That's right?
I think we have too narrow of a definition of what we count as pornographic,
right,
and we need to broaden that definition of pornography a bit. And I know of instances where I've counseled guys, man, stop watching this TV show. Like, I get that it may be rated PG, but it's invoking lust in your heart.
Yeah, there may not be pictures there that are considered pornographic, but the ideas, the seeds are being planted, which then gets your mind that has spent years looking at pornography. It gets your mind going.
Yep, absolutely.
And so it's not beneficial. It's not that watching it in and of itself may be sinful, but for you, it's not beneficial.
Yeah, it's doing something that leads you down that road succumbing to the temptation.
And I think you're also connecting us to something there. I mean, honesty is always important.
Yeah.
But in this case, a lot of times, men who've been looking at pornography, particularly for a long period of time, they've grown very good at lying to others and to themselves.
Right. Yeah.
And so one of the lies is, well, as long as it's not, you know, a XXX kind of website, then I'm good.
Yeah.
But what we take in is always, if you will, catechizing our mind, right?
Yes.
And so we need to be brutally honest. We don't just need to be kind of brutal with the steps and the repentance, but we need to be brutally honest. And so sometimes it's who is going to help me make sure that I'm being honest, that I'm not trying to be deceitful to myself or to others.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And perhaps don't make that person your wife.
Yeah.
You know, perhaps get a brother in Christ that's not addicted to pornography like you are.
Right. You need to confess and be honest with your wife, but you need to find another brother who can handle holding you accountable and can process these things with you, right, in a healthy way.
Yeah. Let's shift for a minute and let's talk about public worship.
Yeah.
The gathering of God's body on the Lord's Day, because you and I would both agree that that's where the Lord promises to grow you.
Yes.
Right. People that have been have grown numb or cold or callous toward God and his provisions for you may not have the right view on that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've either found guys to be just completely disengaged from the Lord's Day, or they don't anticipate or engage in the Lord's Day well. But why don't you, in your counseling of guys, and obviously this kind of stuff can extend well beyond pornography, why is it important for a Christian to gather with God's church every Lord's Day?
Yeah. I mean, gathering with Christ's church on the Lord's Day accomplishes several things. The first thing that we need to say is it's that gathering where the ordinary means of grace occur. Preaching, prayer, and sacraments are ordinances. Those are the means that the Lord Christ has promised to bless to those who come to them in faith, right? The listening and hearing of his word, the coming to his table, praying with his people. And so, firstly, it's important because that's where the market of the soul, as the Puritans would say, is.
Yeah.
The whole Sabbath day, really, but the gathered worship. But, you know, it's interesting. In addition to that, I mean, the writer of Hebrews connects assembling with Christ's people to exhorting one another to life and godliness, mm-hmm. right? And he says, all the more as you see the day of Christ's return mm-hmm. approaching, right? So it's not just that the means of grace are there that Christ chiefly uses to grow us in our faith. It's also that the scripture says it's connected to our battle with sin in one sense, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, absolutely. There is, and I think it's even in Hebrews 3, where the preacher to the Hebrews is saying, it's exhort one another, right? Every day as long as it's called today.
Yeah.
So that none of you may be hardened or may be deceived yep. by sin's deceitfulness. We yep. share in Christ if we hold fast to the profession.
Yep. Yeah. And then interestingly, in chapter 10, several chapters later, it's where he brings, forsake the assembly.
Don't forsake the assembly.
You know, yeah. And so the gathering of Christ's people is a means that he uses to persevere us in the faith.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And what's challenging is over the last year and a half, a lot of people, for them, church has been through the computer screen. Mm-hmm. And if a man is already wrestling with pornography, now church and worship has been reduced to the computer screen.
Right.
And that, quite frankly,
it's no surprise we've seen pornography use soar
over
the last couple of years.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. And sadly, I mean, we've seen research as it relates even to men inside the local church that the pornography addiction has started over the last couple of years. And so, yeah, you need to gather. You need to sit under the preaching of God's word, the public prayers, exhorting one another through melody, reminding each other of the doctrines of Scripture, reminding each other of who we are in Christ. And both of our churches have a time of confession of sin.
Right.
Because we, again, collectively, we don't want to be deceived by sin. And we want to be also reminded, assurance of pardon, that in Christ, our sins are left in the empty tomb.
Yeah, and I also think encouraging public worship to the man in our church who is coming to us for counseling is also an opportunity to say, the counseling that we're doing here is important, but it's secondary to you and I and the rest of the body meeting underneath the pulpit as the word is preached, meeting at the table, right?
Yeah.
For a man who's repentant, meeting at the table, like that's primary. This counseling we're doing, it's a secondary mm-hmm. supplement to that. And you need both, right? And so I often say, I'm going to see you this Sunday, right, brother?
Yeah.
Like that's what's going to happen in my first session.
Yeah. And that's how it should happen. You know, the private ministry of the word, which we, you know, that counseling context there, has to go hand in hand with the public ministry of the word. And we don't want to divorce those two. And so, not to say that there's not space for people that are getting counseling outside the context of the local church,
sure.
but both of us as pastors counseling men that are struggling with pornography, there needs to be harmony between the two.
Yeah.
And ultimately, the public worship of God is really the most important thing that you can be doing.
Yeah.
And so, last thing.
Sure.
Why don't we give a couple of book recommendations?
Yeah. You were kind of asking about some helpful resources. I mean, I think for me, I'm going to borrow on what you said. I think kind of a healthy dose of the doctrine of God, study of his word is helpful. So, I mean, I think the books like, you know, Lewis Burkhoff's Systematic Theology or Herman Bovink's The Wonderful Works of God might be helpful. And it might seem heavy for some people who might not be used to reading, you know, larger theological works, but they also have a component that I think is very heart stirring. You know, one that comes to mind as well is the Puritan Thomas Watson wrote a book called The Body of Divinity. And it's helpful because it is a shorter study of the doctrines of our faith, mm-hmm. including the doctrine of God, a heavy dose of that. But it's very heart focused and mind focused with a practical component. And I think that kind of dynamic is helpful.
Yeah.
On the topic of pornography itself, you know, I've often used Tim Chester's little book, Closing the Window on Porn. And it's a helpful book because it's very Christ-centered, but it does help to expose a man to the larger pornographic industry and world, you know, particularly the brother who might be thinking, I know that this is a sin, but it's not hurting anybody but me, and kind of exposing that kind of lie and deception as well.
Shows you that it's not loving to neighbor.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. What about you?
Yeah, so I would recommend all of those books that you just mentioned. I think that that's – I was thinking when you mentioned Bob Vink, the Banner of Truth publication, Doctrine of God, as well, which is out of his Reformed Dogmatics.
Right.
So I would definitely encourage that. We just finished with our men here at the church. We just went through Thomas Watson's The Doctrine of Repentance, which I would wholeheartedly commend. It's like a 110-page book or something like that. But it goes – Watson does a good job at helping you discern the difference between worldly sorrow that leads to death and godly sorrow that leads to repentance that leads to life. And he gives six ingredients of authentic or genuine repentance that should be practiced. And so I would commend that. It's very much – Watson was a devotional sort of writer. And so I would recommend that. And then specifically on the issue of porn, Heath Lambert had a really good book that came out several years back called Finally Free. It's very Christ-focused. It's holy in the way that he speaks about sexual sin and purity,
in other words, it's kind of like it's bold, but it's not graphic.
It's not graphic. And even in Christian literature on this stuff, there's some things out there that are very graphic.
Right.
I would not commend to someone that's wrestling with pornography or with sexual sin in general. But he has a section in that book on appropriate and inappropriate accountability and on appropriate and inappropriate confession, that both of those things being really helpful. And so I would commend that. Well, guys, we hope that this has been helpful, and we pray that the Lord would bless you in your search to honor him and to love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength.
Yeah.
Well, I want to thank Ryan and Joey for recording that great episode. And men, I hope that you're enjoying this series, Dangers to Intimacy with God and One's Spouse. This is a critical subject of learning to counsel other people, walking alongside of them. And as we're going to continue in this series, you'll continue to learn and discover more about the dangers and how to help others. So, again, I'd love to hear from you guys on what you thought about this episode and so far about the series. So until next week, may the Lord richly bless you and keep you.
Thank you for listening to the Warriors of Grace podcast. If you enjoyed the show today, please subscribe, leave a rating on the app, and share our episode with your friends and family. If you want to, you can follow us on Instagram at Servants of Grace, on Twitter at Servants of Grace, or search Servants of Grace on Facebook. You can also find our show on the front page of the website servantsofgrace.org.